a long shot, would you give the invitation?
Please bow your head with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings you have bestowed in this community. And we pray tonight for your guidance, that our decisions will always be for the greater good of our community.
Please join me in the prayer.
Our allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Number one on the agenda is approval of the agenda. Someone make the motion.
Second.
Call for the vote. Ms. Anaya Flores.
Yes.
Mr. Chavez.
Yes.
Ms. Waters.
Yes.
Mr. Carter.
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Yes.
Mr. Forrest.
Yes.
Ms. Neemeyer.
Yes.
Mr. Waltershire.
Yes.
Alex, good guys. Yes, sir. Consider approval of resolution 2022-52, a resolution making certain budgetary adjustments to the FY 2022-23 budget. Ms. Alcindor.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. I will be reviewing the first quarter budget adjustments for fiscal year 23. In the health insurance fund, there is a request to transfer out $1,534,944.53 to the general fund, the municipal transit fund, the solid waste fund, the sports complex fund, and the water and sewer fund for the employee health insurance rebate. In the general fund, there is a request from the Parks Department to increase revenue and capital costs by $20,000 for donations received for all of our Halloween arts park improvements. In the general fund, there's a request from the Public Safety Department to increase revenue and operating costs by $4,000 for the Shop with a Hero grant from Walmart. In the general fund, there's a request from the Public Safety Department to increase revenue and operating costs by $4,000 for FBI funds received for a local investigation. In the general fund, there's a request from the Alejandro Reese Senior Center Department to increase revenue and operating costs by $7,811. For an aging and long-term services grant received for the replacement of kitchen equipment at the Alejandro Reese Senior Center. In the general fund, there is a request from the North Mesa Senior Center Department to increase revenue and operating costs by $1,500 for private donations received for rehousing the pool tables. In the street improvement fund, there is a request to increase revenue and capital costs by $60,000 for a municipal arterial program grant through NMDOT for rehabilitation of 6th and Pate Street with a 25% city match, which is $20,000. In the Lodgers Tax Promotional Fund, there's a request to increase operating costs by $65,000 for Walter Gerald's Performing Arts Center advertising. In the Lodgers Tax Promotional Fund, there is a request to increase operating costs by $20,800 for the Chamber of Commerce advertising campaign. In the Lodgers Tax Promotional Fund, there is a request to increase operating costs by $5,000 for the Chamber of Commerce Green Chili Cheeseburger Cook-Off advertising. In the Lodgers Tax Promotional Fund, there is a request to increase operating costs by $20,000 for the Cavern City Renaissance Festival advertising. In the Lodgers Tax Promotional Fund, there is a request to increase operating costs by $70,000 for the Boys and Girls Club Gus Macker Basketball Tournament advertising. In the Lodgers Tax Promotional Fund, there is a request to increase operating costs by $9,500 for the Carlsbad Main Street America. In the Lodgers Tax Promotional Fund, there is a request to increase operating costs by $15,000 for Milton's Brewing Second Annual September Fest advertising. In the Solid Waste Fund, there is a request to increase capital costs by $1.8 million for FY22 carryover of 4 ARC trucks. In the Capital Projects Fund, there is a request to increase capital costs by $250,000 for the Alejandro Reese Senior Center parking lot. And in the Lodgers Tax Discretionary Fund, there is a request to transfer $150,000 out to the General Fund for construction of pickleball courts. This concludes the first quarter budget adjustments.
Questions or comments from Ms. Alcindor?
Ms. Alcindor, I know it's a lot of the Lodgers Tax. They were being allocated. Who's deciding these things? Who's on that board? Who decides where Lodgers Tax goes?
Yeah, we have a Lodgers Tax Advisory Board, and these go to them every month, so they're the ones that decide on that.
goes to them before it comes to the city council. Further questions?
The pickleballers have gotten a hold of me recently, Ms. Salsito. How many pickleball courts are we building and how many will be on each one? I've learned more about pickleball in the last few weeks.
Actually, we're going to double the size.
Okay.
That's what we're going to do.
Okay.
And we have so many complaints and questions about it. It's just so popular.
Yeah, I went on there last night and it's, you know, so they're going to do, it's going to double the size of what it is now.
Further questions? Thank you, Ms. Salsito.
Thank you.
Mayor, I make a motion for approval.
We have a motion to approve and a second. No further discussion, call for the vote.
Ms. Anaya Flores.
Yes.
Mr. Chavez.
Yes.
Ms. Waters.
Yes.
Mr. Carter.
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Yes.
Mr. Morris.
Yes.
Ms. Neumeyer.
Yes.
Mr. Walker.
Yes.
Number three, routine and regular business. All matters under this heading are considered routine by the city of Carlsbad, by the city council, and will be acted upon in one motion. There will be no separate discussion of these items. If discussion is desired on a particular item upon request, that item may be removed from the routine and regular business and be considered separate.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve. And second, no further discussion, call for the vote.
Ms. Anaya Flores.
Yes.
Mr. Chavez.
Yes.
Ms. Waters.
Yes.
Mr. Carter.
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Yes.
Mr. Morris.
Yes.
Ms. Neumeyer.
Yes.
Mr. Walker.
Yes.
All items under routine and regular business have passed. Number four, consider approval to accept a Bureau of Justice FY 2022, Edward Byron Memorial Justice Assistant Grant Award from the U.S. Department of Justice in the amount of $14,809. Mr. Wilk.
Yes. Mayor, Janway, members of the council, as mentioned, this is an approval to accept the DOJ grant. As part of this grant, there's a 30-day review comment period. By accepting this grant tonight, we'll start that 30-day review comment period. And this item will come before you on December 13th, 2022. Council meeting for approval of the grant formulas. So this is a grant for the Carlsbad Police Department. This will help implement a license plate reader program for our further police units.
Question or comment for Mr. Lowe?
Mayor, make a motion for approval. Make a motion for approval.
We have a motion to approve. Second. Second. No further discussion, call for the vote.
Ms. Anaya Flores.
Yes.
Mr. Chavez.
Yes.
Ms. Waters.
Yes.
Mr. Carter. Mr. Rodriguez.
Yes.
Mr. Morris.
Yes.
Ms. Neumeyer.
Yes.
Mr. Walkershot.
Yes.
Number five, consider approval to accept the 2022 COPS Technology and Equipment Program Invitational Solicitation Award in the amount of $575,000 for a public safety mobile command unit. The test of it.
Good evening. Thank you, Mayor and City Council members. Before you is this 2022 COPS grant from the Department of Justice and Office of Justice Program. The grant is funded under the Community Oriented Policing Services, which is what COPS stands for. The goal of the COPS program is to increase the community policing capacity and crime prevention efforts for law enforcement agencies. The COPS objective is to provide funds for projects which improve police effectiveness and flow of information among law enforcement agencies, local government providers, and the community they serve. The $575,000 will be used to purchase a public safety mobile command unit, which fits the COPS program perfectly. And the project was a result of being on the city's ICIP, as well as the federal priority list. In May of 2021, the city submitted this project for consideration under the congressionally directed spending to our area senators, Lujan and Hyrek's office. There was an additional application process in June of 2022, and now we are pleased to be receiving the grant agreement. The plan is for the Carlsbad Police and Fire Departments to work with the Office of Emergency Management on implementing the project. Following the approval and the acceptance of this grant, the departments will begin conducting partner and stakeholder meetings The Public Safety Command Center will be a hub for law enforcement-related uses, but it will also be a key resource for community events. The PD will be the entity responsible to keep and maintain the equipment, and so we just ask for your approval on this agreement, and if you have any questions, I stand before you.
Question for Ms. Testa. Thank you, Ms. Testa.
Thank you.
Do you have a motion to approve in a second? No further discussion, call for the vote.
Ms. Anaya Flores.
Yes.
Mr. Chavez.
Yes.
Ms. Waters.
Yes.
Mr. Carter.
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Yes.
Mr. Forrest.
Yes.
Ms. Niemeyer.
Yes.
Mr. Waltershire.
Yes.
Number six, Council Committee reports. Do we have any updates from any councilors? If not, I would like to call on Missy Carter with Strategies 360 to give us an update on callbacks.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and members of the council. I think when Mayor calls, it's typically for me to come and talk about really boring topics and really tough topics. And I keep telling him one of these days I'm going to get a fun one, but we're not there yet. So I'm going to talk about two issues tonight that are related and separate. So they're not siblings, but they're cousins. So make sure that they're all in the same family, but we're going to keep these two issues not related. So with that being said, as you guys know, we're going to start a 60-day session starting in January. And in a 60-day session, we can talk about whatever we want to. So in a 30-day session, it's only issues related to the budget and the call of the governor. In a 60-day, members can file whatever they want. So we're going to talk about all kinds of issues come January, no matter who wins the election in November. We're going to talk about taxes, we'll talk about energy, we'll talk about school crossing guards, everywhere in between. And with all of those issues coming up, what we've been doing with Strategies 360 in the interim is continuing to talk to legislative members about the issues that Carlsbad and Hobbs specifically are having around destination sourcing and the impacts that you guys are experiencing due to GRT losses. Those GRT losses, as you'll recall, are happening due to the differences between origin-based sourcing and destination-based sourcing. So, for example, if Forest Tire sells a tire in the county, Forest Tire now has to put that tire on in the county, and the service is then charged in the county, as opposed to the service being charged within the municipality where the actual business is located. Because of that change, y'all are losing millions of dollars in GRT. On top of that issue, we're also experiencing clawbacks. And the clawbacks are happening due to folks learning more and more about how taxes are taxed within the municipality and county. So to use another example, let's say that Carter's Air Conditioning does a job out in the middle of nowhere on a rig somewhere. That service is now being charged in the county, and Carter's is looking at their books for the last few years and said, I actually should have been charged a different rate than what I was. So then they call the Department of Revenue and Tax and say, I think we've overpaid, can you help us out? TRD says, sure, we'd love to help you out. If the money's not ours, we'll repay it. So Carter's gets their refund, but the problem is that the state doesn't pay that refund. That refund comes through the budget that you guys approve. And a clawback can happen over 3 years. So even if Councilman Carter and his team discovered that that rebate was due now, it could have happened 3 years ago. The problem for you guys is, as you all know, when you create a budget, if you say, I'm gonna pay my air conditioning bill this month, I'm gonna pay for plumbing, and I would really like to buy a new pair of shoes, if you've already spent all of that money, but then the state comes back and says, I'm going to take that money back. Well, you already paid for the shoes. So do you take the shoes back? You've already worn them for 3 days. It gets very confusing. That's even harder when you're running a city, because obviously you're not buying one pair of shoes. You're buying millions and millions of dollars worth of product for the quality of life of your citizens. So when I started this long diatribe and said that we have two issues that are related, they're just cousins, though. They're not siblings, because destination sourcing is creating the opportunity for more people to realize that there's an opportunity for clawbacks to get their money back. So destination sourcing is one issue. Clawbacks are one issue. But but destination sourcing is creating the opportunity for more clawbacks to occur. So, how are we going to fix this? As probably the worst lobbyist in the state of New Mexico, I'm going to stand up here and tell you right now, we still don't know how we're going to fix this, because this is probably one of the toughest issues that we've ever had to deal with. Why is it so difficult? Because communities in New Mexico, for example, Rio Rancho, are benefiting from destination sourcing. All of the trucks from Albuquerque, when they do their plumbing services, when they do their HVAC services, whatever, they're now driving into the bedroom communities, and Rio Rancho's like, we're making all kinds of money. And Albuquerque's like, wait, 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 we're losing them. So we're starting to get more and more allies in this. Albuquerque is looking very closely at their finances. They're starting to realize that they're more impacted than what they thought. And a lot of that is because of places like Intel, Facebook, and some of the mega businesses that they have in that region. So Mayor Keller has committed to working closely with us to determine what their impact is. If they feel that there is a large enough impact to the city of Albuquerque, then they are willing to make this one of their legislative priorities, which would be hugely beneficial to us, because obviously if you could get Albuquerque on board, they're the big dog, there's a lot of votes there. When we go back to the clawback side, that, and I am not an attorney, and this is not legal advice, all of those sorts of things, but the clawback side might be something that we need to look at from a legal perspective, not legislative. So I don't want to talk about too many of the fixes on the clawback side, number one, because Denise would tell me that I'm wrong, and number two, because I don't want to give legal advice that I'm not able to do. But what we can look at on the destination sourcing side are the legislative fixes. Throughout the interim, since I last visited with you about this issue, we've had at least a meeting a month, and many, many more than that. So we have had full committee hearings in front of economic development. We're in front of Tax and Rev on November 1st and 2nd in Santa Fe. We've also had much smaller meetings with the chairs of several of the committees that will impact us, as well as a trade organization and small businesses where we know that they're also being impacted. For example, a week from Monday, I will be in Albuquerque at the National Small Business Association for Women, and they have made destination sourcing one of their main topics, and the reason they've made it a main topic is because small businesses are so impacted by this, because you're now having to report all over the place as opposed to just one place that you were originally reporting. So we've got lots of people looking at it. We've got lots of people considering it. Our biggest next hurdle, two biggest hurdles. Number one is making sure that we can get Albuquerque on board with Mayor Janway and all of you, as well as Mayor Cobb and his council and Hobbs. And then the second hurdle will be to determine what legislation we want to focus on November 1st and 2nd at the Tax and Rev Interim Committee in Santa Fe. We have several options that we're looking at, including just reverting everything back to destination origin-based sourcing, where things were originally, to taking out the oil and gas sector. There's a lot of things that we can consider, so we need to find a balance between what will work best for the communities that we're serving, but not only will it work best for the communities that we're serving, but a bill that can actually pass the legislature. So at this point, I do not have language to bring to you to say, here's the golden ticket, we've got it figured out. But what I can say is that where we were, if we would have had this conversation a year ago, I think we are so much further along in the allies that we've created, the knowledge that people have about the issue, and the understanding of what they're experiencing within their own communities and the impacts of destination sourcing. So we need to figure out a legislative fix for destination sourcing. We also need to figure out clawbacks, but that's probably going to be a separate issue that we need to handle legally. I know I just gave you a whole lot of information, and I'd be happy to stand for questions as long as I have called. It's a tangled mess, and it's so John, Missy, Angie, all of us, we kind of live and breathe this issue because we talk about it all the time. I do want to assure you guys that even though we do not have an answer right now, we are digging and clawing and begging our way through this. So we're getting we're in a comfortable spot going into session. It's just a matter of determining what legislation will get the farthest through the process.
And we're really looking into the legal parts of the callbacks. We're working with several attorneys on that now.
And
just to show you how kind of where we are in the callback, we're more afraid to buy it.
Missy, do you think by January we'll have this thing, are you optimistic we'll have this thing figured out, or what do you think?
So if you are going through an intersection and not speeding, of course, and the light turns yellow, I would say that we're very much at a yellow light. I don't know if we've got a full green of let's barrel ahead, but I definitely don't think that we have a red light. As you guys know, with the elections coming up, there's a lot of things in flux. Until we know what happens in November, we're not going to know a lot of the ways that overall tax situations might change. And that's one thing that we're working closely on in our efforts is listening, having anybody that will listen to us, we go and talk to them. And that's on all sides of the aisle and making sure that they understand the impacts to their own community. For example, Chairwoman Chandler, who's from the Los Alamos area, and we work with her and her city council so that Los Alamos knows that they're also impacted. So I'm at this point, especially in an election year, I think anybody would be crazy to say that they have a green light on any legislation, unless it was everybody gets to pet puppies. But with that being said, I feel very confident with the yellow light, and I don't think that's a bad spot for us to be in right now.
Senator Gay Carden is really leading the effort, and Representative Captain Bell also.
They've been wonderful. Larry Scott, Representative Larry Scott from the Hobbs area, has also been great. We're also working on bipartisan support. Obviously, we need Democratic support to get this to move. Leadership is really listening to us and recognize that there is an issue. We continue to talk to the current governor about the concerns. All those conversations matter and those relationships matter. And there was a Legislative Finance Committee report that recently came out that specifically named Carlsbad and Hobbs and said, we understand that destination sourcing is affecting these two communities more than anybody. That's not to say that the report then went on to say, let's fix it, but they are at least acknowledging that a real problem is there.
Ms. Currier, are we looking at a standalone bill that we're going to try to do this? I sure hope we're not going to try to make it part of an omnibus bill where it gets watered down and 100 other things tacked on.
So, yes, we're going to run a standalone bill. I would anticipate that the standalone bill might become part of an omnibus, but that's just because we're looking at a major tax package that will grow through both gubernatorial candidates have said that they would like tax reform. So I would imagine that we end up with a massive tax package no matter who wins. So yes, we're going to run standalone bills, but if we play our cards right and work our way into the omnibus, as long as the language doesn't change, I think we'll be in good shape there. And most of the tax bills end up in an omnibus, so that's not a scary thing from this particular perspective.
Further questions?
So it's a lot of the smaller communities, for example, Taos, Rio Rancho, a lot of the more bedroom communities, because they don't have service industries like what we experience and what we're fortunate to have here in southeastern New Mexico. Oddly, JAL is actually benefiting right now, which is great for JAL, but the reason that JAL is benefiting is because part of HB 6, which was the original bill that changed this, also changed the Commerce Clause. Originally, if I had a service company that was based in Pecos, Texas, even though I was doing business in New Mexico, the taxes went to Texas and New Mexico didn't benefit from it. Well, obviously, JAL, being right on the border, had a lot of experience with that type of commerce. HB 6 did change that if you're doing business in New Mexico, you're paying taxes in New Mexico. So JAL being right on the border is a good thing for them. However, going back to the clawback situation, we think in the coming years, JAL is going to be hugely affected by clawbacks because nobody at this point understands how to pay the taxes. So even though they're paying New Mexico taxes, they might be paying them in the city, they might be paying them in the county. So we have been strongly encouraging JAL to actually not bond anything or pay for too much, because we think in the next 3 to 5 years, their budget might be decimated by clawbacks. I really hope that doesn't happen, but that's how scary those clawbacks are, because you just don't know how it'll affect you yet.
Also, the county, here in Ada County, it's really helping them, and also the state.
The state is benefiting more than the county, so I don't want to make the county the bad guys right now. If I have to point the finger at anybody, I would prefer to point it at the state, but the county does benefit from this.
But from what I've seen, the county's gain is not proportionate to the city's loss. So it's not an even, transfer.
Councilor?
But Albuquerque seems to be at least on board from what you've talked about. So I think if we get Albuquerque in our corner, I think that would, like you said, I think that would just be huge.
It would be huge. And so Albuquerque is working right now with their analysts, their economists to find. So when Ms. Salcido and when Toby Spears from Hobbs go and run their numbers to determine, for example, the top 10 cities or the top 10 businesses that we've lost money from, it's much easier for them to run their numbers in Carlsbad and Hobbs because they don't have near as many businesses, of course, as Albuquerque. Albuquerque also has a lot more retail, their Targets, their Trader Joe's, those types. So when Albuquerque goes in and needs to call out their numbers, while it's definitely difficult work for Mr. Spears and Ms. Salcido, it's not as cumbersome as what it is in Albuquerque. So it's taking them a little bit longer to run their numbers, but the fact that the mayor has asked them to make this a priority is huge for our conversation. And we're very confident that they're going to find the discrepancies there. They're obviously making more money in retail, which HB6 did help with, but they're still losing a lot of money on that service sector side. And fortunately, Mayor Keller, before he became Mayor Keller, was the state auditor. So he certainly understands the checks and balances and really likes it when the money should be in the correct category.
Further question for Ms. Carter? Thank you, Ms. Carter. We appreciate all the
We'll continue to have everything updated, and we'll probably need to call some of you guys into service soon if we need testimony and other opportunities, so we'll keep you all updated.
Thank you,
Mayor.
That will move us to number 7, adjourned, and I count on Lisa and number 4.
We are adjourned.
We have a motion.
Second.
No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Yes, Anaya Flores.
Yes.
Mr. Chavez.
Yes.
Ms. Waters.
Yes.
Mr. Carter.
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez.